This is Bea Arthur, and you're listening to the Be the Change podcast, sponsored by Sonos. Okay, hey everybody, welcome back to our second episode of Be the Change, where we are Sonos' very first talk show for therapy, but as a podcast. Today, I am talking about the most millennial thing possible, professional identity crisis. Before baby boomers, when they had a crisis in their professional career, they were rich enough to just buy a Lamborghini. Now, we have to deny ourselves the pleasure of avocado toast, and like we can't even like afford Apple Pay and Spotify to drown and cry ourselves in $2 buck chunks. There's a crisis going on. So I brought in the best career counselor I know, my good friend, colleague, and peer, Miss Melody Wilding, y'all.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be here.
Oh my God, you're the best there is. Tell them about yourself and don't be modest.
So I am a therapist turned executive coach, career coach. And for the last 7 years or so, I have been working with top performers of all kinds. So my clients tend to be smart, ambitious, high achievers who also put a lot of pressure on themselves to succeed. And so what I do is help them mentally and emotionally thrive at work. So a lot of it looks like getting through imposter syndrome, overcoming overthinking, managing stress, these professional identity crises that happen when we reach these crossroads. And yeah, I write for Inc., Forbes, Business Insider, a bunch of other sites. And it's been fun. And it all started with you. So thank you.
See, this is why she's the best. This is a true story, actually. Melody and I met on Craigslist and not in a skeevy way.
That's right. This sounds weird, but it's true.
But it's true.
It's really true.
It's true. She had just applied for a journalism position because you were always
designed
to be a star. It was like
a content management.
Yeah. That ended up going to Caitlin, who now runs MTV. But I'm telling you, like, there was like a generation of New York like entrepreneurs that like, it was like Hamilton. In media and startups, just crack, pack, boom, pop. Lots of talent. She didn't get the job for the content position, but I was just like, are you a licensed therapist? Do you want to fucking take over the world?
And we did, kind of.
And we did. And I'm just, I've always been, she's, you know, the best part about being a boss is that you get to create new leaders, and she has totally took off and shine. Yeah. And just, I'm just always love referring her. So this topic is important to my heart because anybody, whether you're a millennial or not, goes through the top three presenting concerns that I see is love. It's usually like a romantic relationship conflict. But then after that, next two, always work stress, whether it's work-life balance, hating their job. I did not know how many people hated how they spent their waking hours. So some people like the work, but the environment is hostile. What is some of the stuff that you're seeing around?
Yeah, I was actually talking to a client today who was going through something extremely similar. She was in a very high-pressure, high-powered job for years, decades. And the environment around her changed. The team that she was originally brought on, she got shifted to different assignments and different bosses, and it was no longer the same situation. And she said to me, I realized I was just trying to prove to myself that I could do it. And that she reached a point where she was like, I can do this, but I no longer want to do this. I no longer like the people I'm around, and it's actually worth it to me, and I'll have a better opportunity if I step away from this than if I stay here and try to stick it through for what? To prove it to who?
Exactly.
So that was a very interesting example of that for me. But so many of the clients I talk to, I call it the honor roll hangover, which is so many, like myself included, we were brought up as that stereotypical honor roll student, get the gold stars, get the straight A's, do the right things, and you will be rewarded. And we get dropped into this work world where it doesn't work like that. Yet we're still operating under these same habits and mindsets, the same mentality of trying to seek that external approval.
That's such a good point, because that's why so many people feel like overworked but underappreciated. Like, you're working so you do a good job and you keep your job and you make money or whatever, but you never get rewarded for it. I used to work in an ad agency. I was like their on-site therapist, just like Wendy from Billions. I always say I'm chocolate Wendy. Oh yeah, girl, we do that. I have corporate clients, so we'll talk after for the difference. But yeah, no, people would come in and they would just be like so stressed. They would like be there over the weekend and then they'd be like, yeah, good job. You know, like, no, here's a beer, here's a cans award, like just like relentless work. To what end? To what purpose? And you forget, like I think the boundary is with our generation. There is no work-life balance, like especially in New York. Like, yeah. You party with people you work with. Like, we have a very work hard, play hard culture here. I like to call it a business lunch or the Mad Men special.
That's for sure.
It's just like work is like kind of dominating us. And so that's why you see more people wanting to do their passions. But that's also confusing too. We just have, are overwhelmed by options, it seems.
That's right. That's right. And it's, there's this, especially for us millennials, we want to do everything 100%. So it's like, which option do I pick that will be the best, and which is the right one? And that just gets us into analysis paralysis, which I think our caller today is kind of facing. Like, how do I pick the optimal, most perfect choice to the point where you can just end up feeling paralyzed and do nothing, which is the worst place.
How do I make a choice that's good for me but also good for my career? That's a really big question. So we have the perfect caller. I was so excited to get this caller. So caller, go ahead and unmute yourself. Are you there?
Hi, I am here. My name's Sylvia, and I am a millennial who loves avocado toast, but has learned to make it herself at home now.
Budgeting, yes, smart skills. Yeah, so I always say really quickly, to know a person's true self, you have to know their fake Instagram. So all of our callers are anonymous. Sylvia is her very glamorous Finsta name, so we'll be referring her as that. And also just Sylvia, really quick, just because I don't want to get sued, even though we are therapists and this is a therapy talk show, this is not therapy. This is just some good old advice from two people who know better. Sound good?
Sounds great. I mean, you guys sound fun.
We're having fun. All right. My name is Bean. I want to change your life. How can we help?
So I definitely felt underappreciated at my job. And then a few months ago, I got laid off. And it's the first time I ever experienced it. I went through all the emotions, like a bad breakup, right? You're like, I didn't even like you, but why are you breaking up with me? So I went through all the anger, surprise, sadness, shame. And then, you know, I was like, okay, now I have to freak out and figure out like what the type A in me needs to do. And grappling with like what the true authentic me wants to do, right? Like follow that passion that you guys were talking about.
And so where do you find yourself now?
So I feel like
now?
I'm at a crossroads.
Career crossroads, your specialty.
I love those. I love those. Well, first of all, I want to acknowledge you for so often I see people who have been laid off from their jobs and you really go through a process of grief, which is exactly what you were saying. You go through this shock and then, well, shock, then anger and denial and kind of reckoning with it. And it sounds like you've really come out of this other side and your attitude now, the point where you're seeing opportunities ahead of you and choices, I think to me says a lot about you and your own resilience and optimism for this. So I just wanted to acknowledge you for that first
off.
You're
doing better than you think, girl.
That's right. You are for sure. So
thank
I have,
you.
Yeah. Aww. Go ahead. Sorry. Cut you off.
No, I mean, I guess I wanted to jump in there with what you were saying with you feel like you do have choices. And I know that's a fact. But, you know, I know there's a part of me that doesn't feel like it or feels caught between choices. Because I am at that point where the crossroads is like many different roads. And I have done some, you know, exploration. I've been talking to a bunch of different people. And yet I'm still kind of like going around in circles. It feels like.
Okay, gotcha. So tell me what the choices are at this point.
Sure. It's funny that the Craigslist job was mentioned.
Beautiful things can come from dirty places. Really filthy, filthy place.
And I didn't get the job off of Craigslist, but I you know, was a trained journalist, and I have been in my industry for over a decade, mm-hmm. Which makes me an elder millennial, but that's okay.
We are too.
Seriously.
So there's, you know, different things like that people are sending me, like you could do PR, you could mm-hmm. do marketing. And what I really enjoy, you know, is creative writing. I also have started like babysitting because I like kids. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, I, you know, Sylvia has immigrant parents who are curious to why she mm-hmm. wouldn't, you know, fulfill her
going to law school
journalist degree.
Yes.
And, right. You know, yes. not going to law school. I'm sure they would support me going to law school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's yeah. not, you know, where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got a lot of options in front of you.
You do. You do. So what are you leaning towards at this point?
And try not to think about outcome, because sometimes we set ourselves up for disappointment by like holding, like attaching our feeling and success to a particular outcome. Then you get it and you get a deep depression because it doesn't bring you the feeling that you thought you wanted. Oh, so
I'm totally going to
go off, sis.
That's why I want to hear kind of where your head is right now in terms of what you're leaning towards in terms of next steps at this point. I'm just trying to get the lay of the land.
So I'm like doing my duty and applying to all these related mm-hmm. jobs.
Okay.
And yet like the dream that I have and mm-hmm. the visualizations I've done in the time I've been laid off, like, mm-hmm. and I even said this actually when I was at my job was mm-hmm. I want to be like a working writer mom. One day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I don't know how exactly that's going to get there, right? Mm-hmm. So like the writing that I want to do is so different than what I have been doing. Mm. And I'm scared that, you know, it's not going to happen, that it's unrealistic. It's not practical.
This part sounds the most aligned for you, because when you were kind of describing all your options, it was like you were not really paying attention, you're kind of like wandering and speaking really quickly, but as you're describing mm-hmm. this very clear vision, you're speaking very slow mm-hmm. and deliberately. So, and the fact that you're scared of it, that gets you closer.
That says a lot to me,
right?
And what I was going to ask is, you just said I'm scared of it, it feels unrealistic. Whose voice is that?
I mean, it's my inner critic, but maybe it's, you know, my parents telling me it's unrealistic. The scared voice is, you know, the little girl that is, you know, that is dreaming about mm-hmm. such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also the pressure of living in New York City, mm-hmm. Which I love, yeah. but it's like the noise that's kind of filling my head. That's like, can I make it here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, every day.
I hear you. I hear you. And so it sounds like, tell me more about this secret dream. And I always like to ask clients about that. Like, what is a dream you have given up on? What is that secret dream that you were afraid to tell anybody wow. else? And I think you were starting to bring us there, which is this living this lifestyle as more of a writer. So what is it you would imagine yourself writing about? How would you be spending your days? Talk to me more about that. If you knew, if you had every guarantee that you were going to be successful, what would you do?
It's funny because I'm standing up and like I feel this energy inside
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to write fiction, have a home with a family, like right outside the city, come into the city a couple of times a week for meetings yeah. and really make like my main passion as a homemaker,
mm-hmm.
Cause I do think that's an important job.
Mm. Yes.
You know, it's the job that my immigrant mom had, mm-hmm. But not out of choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
She didn't speak English. And like, she always encouraged me to go pursue my education and travel the world and be out there. And I would love for that passion that to somehow be able to sustain myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing that a little bit with babysitting, which is temporary, but I do get that income in, right?
Yep.
But how do you, I want to also continue writing, and how do you kind of balance your dreams and your needs?
It's a great question. Mm-hmm. And I always, you know, I always tell people I am not the coach who is going to tell you to like quit your job and go off traveling. And because psychologically speaking, we need to feel like we're operating from a base of safety. We need to feel like our primary needs, so financial, having a roof over our head, that we have food and family, we need to feel like those things are being taken care of in order to even be our best mentally at work. So in order to do your best writing and be the most creative, you really do need to be operating from that place of financial safety. So I totally hear you. So what kind of writing, how are you bringing in income right now? What part of that is writing? Because the goal I can see, I mean, it's clear to me, I think it's pretty clear to me as well, that
you felt you flow, girl.
Yeah, that writing is really the direction that you want to move. Would that be right?
It came through clear as well.
I just hear voices. I'm sorry, B, I interrupted you.
No, you please go ahead.
So I don't know. I just feel like it's so hard for writers
to survive
make it these days, and actors to make it these days. And it's an art, right? It's a craft. So you're like, I don't want to be a starving artist. And but what I am doing right now, you know, in the time that I'm laid off and not trying to make sure that I'm, you know, making my avocado toast at home is entering like contests and, you know, at least trying to do some fiction writing and some screenplay and script writing and trying that for the first time, which feels very exciting.
That's awesome.
But, you know, I was talking to my friend the other day and she was like, I wouldn't even like think to start. Like, and I'm like, well, you know, it's just something that I feel like I have to do or I can do right now. And I feel like I deserve it.
Yes.
You know, I don't know if I'm going to like get the attention of an agent or a showrunner. But, you know, I think not having a baby and not having had tried to write and explore writing would be some of my biggest regrets. Yes. And that's why I say the layoff was, you know, it was coming because I was unhappy.
Exactly.
It was a blessing too. Yeah.
Sometimes things happen for us in that way.
Exactly.
So what I would love to know, let me back up. Sometimes when we're thinking about a career change, we think about like that 1, 3, 5 year path and we get very fixated on the outcome.
Yeah.
And that's where we get into all the doubts and fears. We get into the how. And so what I wanted to do first was slow down and think about the what first and get clarity around the what. And for you, that's writing expressively, creatively, fiction in some format, right?
And being mindful of setting herself up so she's in place to have a family.
Exactly.
And can afford one.
Exactly. And flexibility and all of that. Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful dream, by the way.
It is.
That is very honorable. I'm a child of immigrants. And,
Me too.
My mom, our parents, you know, made it. It is hard work and there's an art to it. When it's done well, you can appreciate it and honor it. So there's no shame in that.
And that inner critic voice, I want to reframe what that voice is saying because it is also the voice of a protector. It is also the voice of your parents coming through. That's like, you work so hard for this degree. It's that voice of, we care about you. And so when that shows up, acknowledging its function, you know, its function is to keep you safe.
Right.
And your job as, you know, the adult in this situation is to say that this is okay. You know, I'm going to say there's also, I'm hearing that future self of you who is like, I can see myself in this home being a homemaker. And I need to move towards this. That part of you that is like, I can't not do this. I have totally been there too. Mm-hmm. And you almost can't describe it. It's almost like this subconscious calling. Yeah, it's pull motivation. Mm. Whereas push motivation is fear-based motivation. It's I want to do this because I'm afraid of embarrassment or rejection or, you know, I want status. Pull motivation is more of that very meaningful, I'm doing this because it's what makes me feel alive.
Yes.
So you, that future version of you is operating from that pull motivation. But what I was saying
good
is
therapy to me is like a fire, like rap punchline. I'm like, ooh, nasty melody.
I love when my clients are like, let me write that down. Like,
oh yeah, that goes on a magnet.
Yeah. One day.
That. It is like a
push pull magnet. Yes.
It's like, come to the deeper end of the water versus like, let me push you off the diving board.
Right. Yes. That's right. Oh, I love that. Metaphor. That's right. Yeah, being pulled, that's beautiful. So few people like know what they actually want to do. So many people have struggled over like, what am I supposed to do with my life? And yours is coming through like a bell. Like, mm-hmm. I'm happy for you. Now you just got to figure out the what. But like, it's very clear what you want. Not the what, but the how.
The how. And I think the how is there. I mean, mm-hmm. You have such a tremendous skill set that you can monetize in so many different ways. Like you were saying, I mean, there's babysitting now. But I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure if you heard when we got cut off. I was saying doing like content writing for companies, doing freelance writing, doing editing. There's so many options where you could bring in that base income that you need to then support you in doing some of your art.
Totally.
And then there's sites like I write on Medium, and Medium pays writers for they call them claps. It's essentially likes. But there's so much opportunity out there for writers. Something else I wanted to bring up. I'm going to give you a little bit of tough love. But that idea of, you know, if you're an artist, you can't make money at doing what you love is BS. And if you keep telling yourself that story, then you are definitely not going to go anywhere with this, because you will just live up. Yeah, we live up or we are pulled down to the stories we tell ourselves. And so I think if you can find examples of people who have been very successful with their writing, there's certainly examples out there of people who may have a full-time writing, editing job, but then do something creative on the side. So those are out there.
I needed that pep talk, my damn self.
I like that. Yeah, I like that, because I think, you know, what's different about our modern world is that the boomers didn't have to deal with is that a lot of deals or things now have to do with, like, social media, like, how many followers do you have, so that you just have to build an audience versus, like, the credibility of the person, the bigness of their ideas, you know, and I think that's like me going to industry things that kind of perpetuate that negative small door. Mm-hmm. And what I do, so I am trying to hang out with more working moms just to like get a sense of like what their life is like. Mm-hmm. And know that like that's actually possible and happening right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got it. Are you feeling better, a little bit more clarity about which direction you should take?
I do. I want to reach closer towards that future me. And I do think that I have to validate the other voices, but not listen to them or just recognize them and, you know, continue to do what I'm doing. I think sometimes, like, and maybe you agree with this with your other clients, like, we are doing the right things, but we're just, like, questioning ourselves all the time.
Oh,
but
you basically hit my entire practice, like, to the exact T. We always know. You knew.
Right.
It was in there.
Yeah.
We just had to give you a little bit of permission.
There wasn't even that much
dust. We had to give you that little bit of permission to bring it out. Well. And you're exactly right. I think so many of us second guess ourselves, question ourselves. Mm-hmm. That doubt comes in. Mm-hmm. So yes, you couldn't have said it any better.
Yeah,
You know, they say that I always get the numbers wrong, but I think it wouldn't be that far off, that 80% of our thoughts are repetitive and 95% of those thoughts are negative.
Yeah.
And so when you said, like, you know, we'll pull down to where our baseline is, like, what we allow ourselves to believe. Yeah, it's really easy to slide back down to that when you don't have the energy to be positive.
Yeah, and you're right. It's energy as well, and it's the people you surround yourself with. And that's why it can be so hard to be in a workplace where you're not supported and you don't feel appreciated. That can't do energetically takes a lot. Yeah.
Oh, I needed this word. Sylvia, how you feel? Was your life changed?
I just had like an image of my kids maybe not appreciating me, but also just laughing at it.
That was an emotional roller coaster, girl.
Yeah.
this is fine. I mean, I definitely have a positive boost. And you know, sometimes you just need somebody to listen and help, like, think out loud.
Oh, we are so glad we can help. Honestly, this is what we love to do. Being a therapist is hard, but we love dig in and we love the mess. So thank you so much for sharing yourself. You were really great.
Thank you.
All right. So that was an amazing call. Well done, Melody. Bravo.
Thank you.
Bravo.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my God. It's so fun to do the work. So that is the point of what we do. Like, if there's a problem, we'll solve it. Check out the beat. Be the Change resolves it.
Oh,
right.
That was good.
Just off the dome. So thank you so much. This is what we do. My name is B. Arthur. Thank you again to my guest, Melody Wilding. Shout out to our producer, Isaiah. Woo. Hey ho. And we like to call this the Power Half Hour. So if you'd like to have your own Power Half Hour to get help thinking out loud, you can always sign up at thedifference.co, where we believe the right talk at the right time can make all the difference. Melody, how can the people find you? You can promote something too.
You can find me at MelodyWilding.com. And that's the place.
Are you taking new clients? Because that was some excellent analysis.
I am. If you're interested, you can sign up for a free call.
Hey now. Yeah. Thank you. Well, I would love to offer that deal to all listeners, even though she just did. It's nice to have a giveaway to the audience. That's don't right. make me look bad. So thank you so much, y'all. Don't forget that life has changed, but change is good. So life is good. And join us next time on Be the Change. Thank you. Bye. This is the Be the Change podcast, recorded at Sonos Studios in New York City. Thanks for listening.